welcome to Beer Untapped with Perry Miller. We've been talking the flagship beers of Woodlegs Brewing the past few weeks. When we started, I had no idea this was a thing, Flagship February. It was proposed by a well-known beer writer and picked up nationwide. It's meant to recognize those beers that many craft beer drinkers cut their teeth on. Today, craft beer seems to be focused on the latest, trendiest flavor of the day. Seth Cook of Woodlegs Brewing at Brookings.
There's a lot of the classic craft beers that you see on the shelf that you might look at and say, you know what, I remember having that 10 years ago, but I haven't had it in the last five. So, yes, I think it's good to recognize some of the flagships for what they've done and what they are. We talked for the last, four or five shows about our flagship beers. And we really enjoy our flagship beers, and they're kind of our staple. But that's not to undervalue some of the seasonal and whimsical beers that we've done. And some of the beers that we've done not intending to become flagship beers actually have started to see a repeated reoccurrence. Or, you know, we're starting to see a lot of those. So, you know, the flagship beers are the ones we really like and the ones we think we define us. But we better not forget about just the number of beers that have become quite popular outside of what we originally thought would be a flagship beer.
Large breweries have a harder time keeping up with the latest cool thing. One reason the brew pub model continues to work is they can make small batches. It's easier to provide a constant variety when you brew small.
Our brewery was actually built around that principle. When we made a small brewery, we designed it with intent that we could do the fun things, and we do. And I would think if you were to look at our tap list and our tap board, it's probably one of the more extensive boards, at least for a brewery of our size. You know, we keep a lot of things on and go through a lot of different styles. But again, that was a design. That was deliberate when we started.
You can much easier, if you make a mistake or something that isn't that good with just five barrels as opposed to 1,000 barrels, there's a big difference there in the cost.
Right. It's a big difference in the cost. And we have some of the, you know, we have some leeway to experiment. We haven't really had a bad batch that I would say, but the batches are small enough that they move fast enough that we have the opportunity again to do it.
But there's beers you're not going to make again.
That's true. The double edge of that sword, though, is that if it's a beer that we make and we really like, it's still gone in five barrels. So, I mean, we have that problem where, you know, we might make a beer that we like, and if you come 2 weeks later, there's a chance.
I was going to say, some of your beers go really fast.
Like, some of our Pubkeep beers are quite popular.
More Flagship February when Beer Untapped continues.
Pale ale, light or dark, lager, pilsner, sour, pop, sweet nectar of the gods.
Welcome back to Beer Untapped with Perry Miller as we talk Flagship February. Time to celebrate those great craft beers that helped establish the industry or that helped make a brewery. I've talked to many brewers over the years, and if you ask them the first craft beer that had an impact on them, most will mention a flagship beer. For Seth Cook at Wooden Legs, it was New Belgium's Fat Tire.
Fat Tire was extremely influential when we were doing this. I still remember, I grew up in the Black Hills, and driving over to Newcastle, Wyoming, just to be able to pick up Fat Tire. At one point, I even went to a football game in North Dakota and picked up a case of Fat Tire on the way out. So Fat Tire was extremely important to kind of when I started the brewery. And I spent some time in Fort Collins, so that was, there's a tie into that. The other one is I've always enjoyed Goose Island's beers, and that's also because I spent time in Chicago. Now, when I was in Chicago, Goose Island was still quite independent. And maybe those are more of a tie-in to just kind of when I started drinking beer, but it's fun to be able to see those still on the shelf and say, you know what, I vividly remember sharing these beers with friends, you know, when I had discovered them, bringing them to houses and saying, try this.
And arguably the single most important craft beer ever, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, is a flagship and still is their flagship.
Right, it still is their flagship, and that's a great example. And I would even say as important in this region is maybe Boulevard Wheat. I think Boulevard Wheat made an impact here in the craft beer scene. That was one of the first beers that you could get with any type of frequency when you were right around South Dakota here was that wheat beer. And I also have kind of a special affection for some of those Boulevard stuff. And that is, again, because that was the first time we could get your access to those.
Seth hopes one day people may look back on the flagship beers of Wooden Legs with a similar appreciation.
Someday is that the listeners of this and that people of Brookings have some affection for some of the Wooden Legs beers that way. My hope is that if people get to go home and say, my first experience was Split Rock Creek or Wild Hare or whatever it is, and in years gone by, they can say that that they have kind of an affinity towards that because that was their first experience, then I think we've moved the needle, and that's been kind of a cool accomplishment.
Now, get out there and have one of your old favorite flagship beers. My guess is you'll find it pretty darn tasty. Until next time, drink local and drink responsibly.